thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I went home last Sunday evening, totally buzzing, as they would say. Last Sunday was such a great day in the house of the Lord, in God's presence with God's people. And I went home feeling totally overwhelmed by the grace and goodness of God, and overwhelmed to be part of this local fellowship of believers. So went to bed on Sunday night, got into bed, and I was just thanking the Lord, praising the Lord for the day. Went to sleep, and I don't often have them, but I had an unsettled night. I wouldn't say it was a nightmare, but it was a night filled with very scary dreams. Now, it was just a sense of darkness closing in. I'm not a morning person. I mean, I never look forward to the alarm going off. I'm not a night person either. I'm a 2 hours in the afternoon kind of a person. Don't like get up too early, and I don't like to go to bed too late. Yeah, it's just the middle of the day is my time. But anyway, Monday morning, I'll tell you, I was jolly glad when that alarm went off. It was just a case of thank you that night's over and morning's here. Then on Monday, we got the phone call that Graham would probably get another phone call on Tuesday to go in for his treatment on Wednesday and Thursday. So Monday night, I went to bed thinking, right, this is the night before the big day dawns when Graham's going to go into hospital. We've waited so long. Tuesday morning, I slept well. Tuesday morning, I woke. And my very first waking thought was the words that God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 15:1. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your very great reward. Do you know what it's like when you wake up, you just get a thought? That was just, it was one of those thoughts that came totally storming into my head, into my heart, with such force and power. I say, wow, the Lord is saying, I am your shield and your very great reward. I couldn't wait till the boys went off to school. I thought, I need to research a bit into that and see what God's saying through it. So that's what I did. I looked into it, and that is the word I am bringing to you this morning. Genesis 15, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward. These words came to Abram sometime after the promise of blessing. But the promise of blessing still hadn't been fulfilled. Abraham was having to exercise real faith to believe that God would at some point and in some way fulfill his word. He would bring it to pass. He would have to wait, actually, a lengthy season before the word of God came to pass, came to fruition. Before the promise became fulfilled, Abraham was going to go through many trials, many testings. He would make some mistakes. He would make errors of judgment. But God made him this significant promise. Abraham, I am your shield. I am your great reward. And he would prove to Abraham, the word of the Lord is flawless. I love that. It can be depended on completely. So this morning I want to think about two ways that God is our shield, and then briefly, if we have time, about God as our reward. Firstly, God is our shield of protection. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Psalm 18, verse 30, a verse I love. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. What does it mean for God to be our shield of protection? Well, the most first, and I think the most powerful thing to notice is this. Listen, folks, it is God himself who is our shield. Did you notice that? Abraham, I am your shield. He doesn't say, I'm going to provide you with a shield, or I'm going to get somebody else to be your shield. Abraham and you and me this morning, God says, I am taking personal responsibility for your protection. Does that not take a load off? If you're thinking, oh, I'm feeling a bit exposed, or I'm feeling this, or I'm feeling that, to say to yourself, God has said, he is my shield. He has taken personal responsibility to protect me. If you're one of those people, and there are a few of you, who nod off in sermons, especially in the heat in here on a Sunday morning, nearly nodding off myself. If you're one of those people who nod off during sermons, right, get it in quick before you nod off. If you take nothing else home, I want you to remember this. No matter what you are facing or what you will face in your life, God himself is your shield of protection. Oh, praise his name. He is our protection in the battle. Defensive action. A shield is usually something the warrior himself would have to hold. He'd be holding it up here. Occasionally, an important warrior or a king would have somebody out in front of him holding a shield. But one thing about a shield you hold yourself, it only ever provides a measure of protection. You need to put it down a bit to see over the top of it. It doesn't protect your back, doesn't protect your side. There are always parts of you exposed. And they weren't light. You could be holding that shield. You could be in a long battle. Your arm gets weary. You drop it for a moment. You drop the defense. And suddenly the enemy comes in. God is your shield. God is your shield. God is all around us. He protects every part of us. Our head. He's got our back. He's got our front. God surrounds us with his powerful shield, which is himself, his presence. And the key for us is to take refuge in him. To take refuge. Sometimes we think, oh, I can work by myself. I can take it upon myself to try and accomplish the task. But God says no. He is a shield, David said, to all who take refuge in him. He promises to be that. To understand the significance of the moment when God spoke this into Abram's life in this vision, I'm going to outline briefly what happened to Abram, because God isn't random. He knows exactly the word we need to hear from him and the point in our lives we need to hear it. At the end of Genesis 13, Abraham and his nephew Lot, you know, they've been living together, working together. Their herdsmen were fighting because there wasn't enough ground. And Abraham said to Lot, choose wherever you want to go. And Abraham chose the fertile plains, as you know, and he pitched his tent near Sodom. And then when Lot went off, God said to Abraham, Abraham, stand, look to the north, look to the south, look to the, what way is west and east? Look to the west, look to the east, or whatever way they were. Look to the west, look to the east. Abraham, I'm giving you that land, all of it. And then he said, Abraham, walk through it. Walk the length of it. Walk the breadth of it. Abraham, that's your land. I'm giving that land to you and to your offspring. And as we heard last week, Abraham still had no offspring. He was walking through it in faith, but he hadn't received it in actuality. God had given him the promises. Then God says, God promises to be that shield because If you're going to take the land, there are battles ahead and you need the shield of protection. When Abraham trusted in God, absolutely, and he let God work out his purposes in his own way and his own time, he understood God's timing's perfect. God's ways are perfect. God's promises are sure. God's word is flawless. But when he didn't understand, when he tried to work it out himself, when he tried to take control of it from a human way and work it all out, he just brought grief to himself. The waiting, the testing, it was all part of God's process of bringing Abraham through, strengthening his faith, deepening his trust in God's mighty power. What situation are you facing at this time? What testing of your faith? Are you tempted to bring a human situation, a human solution rather, to sort it out? I want to remind you this morning, God's way is perfect. His timing's perfect. What we sometimes view as delays, setbacks, are often God's ways of teaching us reliance on him. When we can't see the way forward, God is teaching us to go deeper in faith and trust in his flawless word. It's when we come out from behind his shield of protection, it's then that we are so open to discouragement. It's then that the darts of the enemy actually come through and hit us. But God is our shield. He's our shield against Satan. You know that? Satan's always out to destroy us. Satan is out to get us off the path of faith. Satan is out to paralyze us through fear. He is out to totally push us off and distract us. But we do not have to fear him because God is our shield against Satan. It's not equality of power. God is all powerful. In Job 1 verse 10, Satan admits to God that he knows God is protecting Job. You read it, Job 1:10. He says to God, you've put a hedge around Job. It's a very interesting verse. Does it show that Satan has already been trying to attack Job, but he hasn't been able to because God's hedge is around Job? Satan was only able to attack Job because for some reason, God lowered the hedge. God permitted it to happen. Read the book of Job. Graham said he's going to preach a 6-year series on it when he gets back. I have you warned. God lowered the hedge. God permitted it to happen. And God set the terms, folks, of what Satan could do to Job. God allowed all these things to happen to Job, not because Job has sinned, not because there was something wrong in Job's life. Job, in verse 1, you read it, was a righteous and a blameless man. God allowed it because God was going to work through every attack of Satan a deep and a powerful work in Job's character and life. I just want to read one verse from the very last chapter of the book of Job. He made an amazing confession at the end. Job 42:5. He said, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Wow. Wow. God is our shield against Satan. That does not mean that you will never have a trial, a testing, an attack. He is our shield. Even though maybe the enemy will attack us and things, and we think, oh, I could never handle that. And maybe we go to God and we're questioning God and we're crying before God and our minds can't understand it, and we're maybe battling and arguing with God as Job did. Surely at the end of it, we can come through and we can say, God, my ears have heard of you before, but now my eyes have seen you. God, you brought me in to a whole new experience of you. Again, I was just thinking about Richard Wurmbrand, maybe because I watched that film a few weeks ago. Those years, 8 years in a communist prison, absolutely tortured for his faith. Maybe he wondered, and maybe we wonder, why does God allow those things to happen? Was God a shield to Richard Wurmbrand and many like him who were suffering those intense persecutions? Yes, God was a shield. For whatever reason, as with Job, God seemed to lower and allow things to happen. The body they may kill. They can't touch the spirit. They cannot touch the spirit. Things may happen to our bodies. Things may happen even in our minds. But friends, when we take refuge in the Lord, he will strengthen the spirit. And we will come out the other end saying, yes, I had heard of you, but I am emerging, Lord, and I can see you with greater clarity. Do we not long for that? We maybe don't understand, and I don't understand all God's reasons, but I trust him. Pray you trust him. Then secondly, not only protection, defensive protection, but also protection to move forward in the battle. Offensive protection. My knowledge of wars and of actual historical battles, very, very limited. I'm not a historian, but some of you I know in the last week will have been watching documentaries, films and stuff about commemorating the end of World War I. Now, I don't know, as I say, much about war or much about the things of war, but I do remember from history where often, particularly the Romans, it wasn't just one person with a shield in the battle, but often a whole army of people, they would get their shields and they would all line up and they would go like this in a big block, and en masse, they would use their shields to move forward into the battle. Offensive, moving forward with the shield. Well, when I really read about this over this week, about God being our shield, this struck me as very powerful. God is our shield, not only defensively, God is calling us, and he's calling us as a church, I have no doubt about it, to move forward in faith into new territory, to push the kingdom of God forward into new ground, to push forward in our own lives, overcoming obstacles, breaking new ground, breaking through spiritual strongholds in our own hearts and minds, breaking through barriers to blessing, breaking through temptation, breaking through doubt, breaking through fires of trials and all the rest of it. We cannot constantly as Christians be on the defensive. We can't. We need to be moving forward in faith. And God says, you're an army. Get the shield up. I am your shield. Move forward into the battle. We don't take new ground without a fight. Did you know that? God promised Abraham, this land is going to be yours. But this promise becomes even more significant if you read the chapter just before this promise. In Genesis 14, you can read how Abraham wasn't the only one who was interested in taking that land. There were at least 9 kings mentioned in Genesis 14 who were interested in that very same territory. In fact, they were battling for control of it. They were forming alliances among themselves to try and take control of the territory. God didn't give Abraham the promise for a nice little easy patch of ground somewhere that nobody else was interested in. God said, Abraham, that's your ground, but it's a battleground. There are other people interested in taking that ground. If we are going to move forward in faith, we are walking into a battleground. It's not an easy little patch of ground. We are walking into enemy territory. Another very interested party. Another interested party who wants to keep people enchained and ensnared and trapped in the misery of sin. And God says, I want you to walk forward and take that territory. Walk into that battleground. Abraham, his nephew Lot, was, you know, he was living outside Sodom. And these kings, they formed an alliance, four kings against five kings. And they raided, and they went down into Sodom, and they took the people from Sodom, they took the possessions from Sodom, they also took Lot and his family and all his possessions, and they carried them away. Word came to Abraham, who was just living quietly, minding his own business, as too many of us Christians are, living quietly, minding our own business. And Abraham said, I need to do something. He took 318 fighting men from his household, his best men, and he went out to rescue Lot. He went, he got Lot back, he got the possessions back, he got the people of Sodom back, and he got all their possessions back. And he brought them back to the king of Sodom and all the rest. Do you think that made Abraham popular with the raiding kings? Do you think they were happy that Abraham had come and taken the spoils of war from them? Immediately that made Abraham the enemy of nine powerful kings. Maybe Abraham was getting a bit, dear me, I was living quietly here, and now I'm going to have these kings coming. That's the start of chapter 15. God said to him, spoke to him in a vision, Abraham, do not be afraid. I am your shield and your very great reward. Abraham, you have pushed forward. You've stepped out into the battleground. But don't worry, Abraham. Don't be afraid. I am your shield. What new ground is God challenging you to take now? What step forward do you personally need to take? Maybe it's stepping out into a new ministry. Maybe it's considering a new job. Maybe it's leaving something behind that's become a hindrance to you. Maybe it's picking something up that you've been avoiding. Is God dropping something into your heart right now or confirming something? Are you moving forward in faith? Are there new challenges to your faith at this moment? If there isn't, is it because you've just settled down? Comfortable life? God doesn't call us to settle down to a comfortable life. He calls us to the battleground. Every Christian to the battleground. And if you're settled down and comfortable and you're not hearing the challenge to move forward in faith, you need to pray and say, God, what are you asking from me? And he'll tell you. He's calling us to move forward. And he's saying, in that offensive action, don't be afraid. I am your shield. And then finally and briefly, God himself is our reward. I am your shield and your very great reward. After Abraham had rescued Lot and his possessions and the people of Sodom and their possessions, he came back. And he came back and the first thing he did was take 1/10, 10%. People say it's under the law, the tithing to God. It's not under the law, it's well before the law. The 10%. And he gave it to Melchizedek, priest of Salem, that amazing. Yeah, we'll not get into the controversy about who he was. But Abraham tithed it to God, the spoils of war. Then he went to the king of Sodom and he gave him back all his people and all his possessions. And the king of Sodom said to him, Abraham, you know, amazing job you did there. You know, we'll keep the people. Take all the possessions for yourself, Abraham. That was incredible. Thank you for the work. Abraham said, I won't take a thing from you. He said, I won't even take a piece of thread. You read it, that's what he said. Not even a piece of thread. Let nobody say, any man, king of Sodom or anybody else, made Abraham rich. Abraham learned something there. God is our reward. He knew God was calling him forward in faith. He didn't want to be sidetracked by money or possessions. God had promised him, I am your reward. Yesterday at Vera's funeral, I was just chatting with Philip afterwards. And he was saying, years ago, maybe the early Christian, not the early Christian, the early Pentecostal Christians even. I'm sure it wasn't only Pentecostal Christians. The early people in the turn of the last century sang a lot about heaven. You read through the old hymn books, there's loads about heaven. Say, Christians don't talk much about heaven. Don't think much about heaven. Don't speak much. Don't read much. Don't sing much about heaven. Why is that? Is it because we've got so much that we're comfortable? That's a challenge. Is God our reward? Sang this morning, Christ is my reward. Is he? Or are we more interested in our possessions, in our stuff? We're all surrounded by stuff. Does all our stuff blind us to the need to move forward into the battle, sometimes to leave the comfortableness behind and to know, yes, I need to be storing up treasures in heaven, because when we go into that coffin, we don't take one thing from this world with us. Not one thing. Christ is my reward. God says, Abraham, don't be afraid. I am your shield and your great reward. Help us this morning to see him not only as our shield of defense for offense, but help us to see him as our reward. And your
love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.